Oh, hey there. How are you? I'm just here with my friend Nate. We're having a good time together. Welcome to the show. A little more of a different episode today. We're gonna have a casual talk. I'm gonna interview my co-host here with Brains, Bibles, and Beyond. Nate, I appreciate you.
Howdy.
That's the best way we salute each other. Okay.
All
All right, so here we go. Fire away with questions. Are you
right,
ready?
yeah. Is this gonna be rapid fire or slow fire?
I'll set up the gun, I'll let you fire it.
Okay.
Okay. If you were a stand-up comedian,
Cool.
what would be your opening joke to win over the audience?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I don't know exactly what it would be,
Okay.
but it would probably be something along the lines of a fat joke.
Yeah.
Because,
We can get away with it.
yeah. So it'd probably be something along the lines of, so we're here to have a seminar on self-control. Something like that, right? I
I
don't
got
know.
you. All right.
I'd have to probably,
Hey,
write it and then try it and see how it goes,
I
but
surprised you with it, so
yeah,
it's yeah,
no.
you
It
don't
would
have to
be
come up
something along
with.
those lines.
I got you.
But everybody likes a good fat joke.
Yeah.
Well, except for women. But
Here's the deal. Well, I was always off and on fat, and one of the times when I started
not me.
losing weight and I got skinny, I kept making my fat jokes because I could get away with it, right?
Sure.
It's funny. I'm fat. I'm making a fat joke.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't really realize I wasn't necessarily considered fat anymore, and people like started getting offended when I said these things. They thought I was making fun of people. I'm like, no, I'm making fun of myself, and yeah, so it didn't go over well. So it's a wonderful privilege that we have.
I've never had that problem.
Well, one day, you're doing well.
I'm
All
not a
right.
quitter.
So what about hobbies? What do you do for hobbies? I know
Oh.
you're a busy guy, but
Yeah, no, so there's things like I do like to hunt. I like sports. Football, basketball. I actually collect trading cards, sports cards.
okay. Football, basketball as well, or
Mostly,
okay.
but anything I can, but mostly football, basketball,
Okay.
because that's the sports I enjoy the
You ever
most.
try to make money off that? Like,
In the past, when I was
okay.
really, 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 really broke, I
Okay.
would sell some. Now I mostly just collect. It's like my
It's
future retirement fund.
like I want water this month, so I'm gonna sell a card. Or...
Yeah, back 20 years ago, that's what it was.
Yep.
I needed gas to put in my car.
Gotcha.
But no, I don't sell much.
Just like collecting. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a fun hobby. My boys are
So,
getting into it now, which makes it more
sure.
fun, because then I can help them. So,
Yeah.
but yeah, no. So I, do that. That's always been a hobby of mine since I was probably 5. So I've done that a while. But I've always liked sports. Sports are good. Good for people.
Sure.
And then I've grown up hunting and fishing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So,
And what's your favorite thing to hunt?
ooh, favorite thing. So. I mean, big game is fun, just in general. There's no greater feeling than shooting like a deer,
Hmm.
something big.
Have you ever done that for like elk or
No, I've
bear?
always wanted to.
Okay.
Big game for me, the biggest thing we hunt around here is white-tailed deer.
Yeah, okay.
But it's one thing to shoot a rabbit or a squirrel or a pheasant, and there's nothing that shoot a deer, especially like first couple. Like,
Okay.
it's really exciting. After doing this, hunting now for however many years, deer hunting, shooting, however many deer I've shot over the years, not as many as some people, but more than probably most. You don't quite have the excitement, but I still do a victory dance, like, but you don't have, it's not, you don't quite have the adrenaline rush that you did when you're, 14, 15, you're only shooting
Okay.
the first one or whatever. But yeah, there's anybody who's ever done big
Yeah.
game hunting, they know the feeling. Like, man, you shoot that first one, it's pretty exciting.
I'm taking your word for it here,
Yeah,
but
you wouldn't know.
I would assume, yeah, I
Yeah,
would assume
you're probably
so,
a
yeah.
vegetarian.
No,
So,
I'm not a bad
no.
hunter. Okay.
The funnest thing to hunt is probably doves, in my opinion. Dove
Okay.
hunting is just awesome. You carry out a lawn chair, you sit in the pile of a sunflower field or whatever, and you just shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot. And man, some of those little boogers are hard to hit, but they got more ammo. Just keep loading the gun.
Okay.
And
All
yeah, man,
right.
that's a blast. It's duck hunting without the work. And duck hunting's fun, but
Yeah.
dove hunting is less work.
Yeah, I've heard about
And you
duck
can shoot more.
hunters, and they're like, way before the sun rises, they're out there.
Yeah.
They're in the water.
Yeah.
They're sitting there for hours.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't get to hunt as often as I like would have I used to, because I just have other things that are higher priority, but, I still get to go some, but, I have some nephews and they hunt quite a bit and they help find spots and stuff. And, and a bunch of us went opening day this year, dove hunting, and they go down like basically like midnight, like as soon as you can walk in, cause you can't like go out into the spot until like season starts. Right. So the day of, so they'll go out like at midnight and get our spot.
Okay.
And then we show up, you know, like 5:30 in the morning, you know, they've been there all night. And, so that's super awesome for the old guys like us, you know, so I'll go out there with, you know, the old guys and walk in there and they're already got the spot set out. My chair's already there, you know, talk about easy hunting. And, so that's great, but
okay,
it's a lot of fun.
Sounds fun. So what was, in a nutshell, try. But what was life like for you growing up? Quick encapsulation there. Then just kind of roll that into a little bit about your family now.
Okay, so life growing up was great. Grew up in the country. Parents that loved me, and raised in a Christian home. Parents that disciplined me because they loved me.
there you go.
And you know we were homeschooled, so you know, good anti-socialist here, and I remember so many times, and people, it's still the same question. Well, how do you get socialized? I mean, they used to ask me that when I was like 10 and whatever, you know, like,
yeah,
same way everyone else does. You walk in, be like, hi, I'm Nate, what's your name? like, it's not that hard to make friends, right? Yeah, I grew up in the country, homeschooled, and like, no neighbors, and I still have plenty of friends. Like, this is weird. Anyway, trust me, homeschoolers can find friends too.
Somehow.
Also, the reason you go to school is not to socialize. It's supposed to be to learn, right?
Right.
Anyway, that's a whole other subject. But, so, good parents loved me, raised me well, did a good job. I'm sure they, you know, obviously weren't perfect, no one is, but, you know, overall, did a good job. So, a great childhood. Had a dad who invested into us, you know, taught us how to hunt, fish, you know, use tools, just generally be a man, you know. Which I'm eternally grateful for. You know, he just, you know, basically like, you know, I'm sure he regretted it some days when he couldn't find his stuff, but, you know, basically just turned us loose on letting him use his tools. You know,
that's cool.
Of course, we'd get screamed at when we didn't put him back, because we should have been, but, you know, but yeah, it was good. And, you know, I do the same thing now with my boys. Like, you know, we got stuff. Hey, you know, I'd rather have my son out there with a hammer and a drill building something than sitting inside playing video games, right?
Yeah.
You know, and so what? I might have a pile of screws to pick up on my driveway when I come back. So, you know, but...
It's worth it. Yeah.
You know, because that's good. It's good for young men to be taught how to be men. So Dad did a great job with that.
Mm-hmm.
And now today, I guess, I got a wife, 3 kids. Married to my wife, and
that's a good way.
Yeah, we have been married now for 12 and a half years.
Okay,
and I got 3 kids, 10, 9, and 7.
There you go.
And oldest is a daughter, and I got 2 boys, and they're all great. I actually like all 3 of my kids.
Aww.
It's just pretty great. My wife is totally awesome. She's beautiful. She's everything I'm not, and then quite a bit more. And, you know, she, you know, we're truly a partner in this ministry, and it's good.
So. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I like bring my whole family over here. Our kids play together. Wives talk together while we work together. And so,
yeah. We talk nice too.
Meet during the meals and stuff. So.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, even doing this, like lunchtime comes, we walk inside, wife's making lunch, you know, she's just
pretty awesome.
She's a servant, you know, and it's awesome. Yeah, you know, and she just,
good.
You know, makes things for me a lot easier in life.
Yeah, she's always treated us really great. Excellent hostess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying, except for the things that are applied to my own wife and myself. So
my wife is a perfect 10 and no one else's is.
Yeah. I agree for my own wife too. All right, but this is about you today. So here's another. I got a couple more not as serious ones, and then we'll get to the serious things.
Okay.
Here.
Okay.
So if you were a character in a video game, what would be your special power, and what would your mission be?
All right. So I don't do a lot of video games, but
You're in one, so.
Yeah.
In this hypothetical scenario.
So it just so happens to be, if you ever played like Madden, you can create your own character.
Okay, yeah.
And so naturally everybody would. At least I did. And so I always created Nate Day to play Madden. And and what was funny is I made myself a running back, but I would make him my size. So I have this it's been a long time since I played Madden, but I had this 340-pound running back. and I would because you can adjust the character sizes or whatever. So I'd make him as fat as possible, just look like this bowling ball. But he would have top skills of everything, speed and strength and everything. And that was fun. So yeah, so as a video game character, I'd be an awesome running back. Because everybody who watches football loves when the fat guy scores a touchdown. The defensive nose tackle, if he gets a fumble and runs it back, and he's chugging it down. Everybody likes that.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Everyone. It's even better when he goes to the sideline to get oxygen afterwards. you just keep laughing. He's like, man, that's a highlight that I will watch. That's a highlight I will watch all day long.
Yeah. So the special power would be the fat guy that's an awesome running back.
Yeah.
And then the mission is get touchdown.
Well, sure. I never played first person shooting games and all that stuff.
Yeah.
At least not much, right. Very little. So.
So the next, imagine having an autobiography. Okay. What would its clickbait title be?
Oh gosh. Clickbait title. I'd probably just put a picture of my wife on the front. What better clickbait could you have?
Wow. Wow. You're just out to earn points.
talk about bait and switch.
Yeah. That's true.
No. I don't know. I've never really thought about that. I'm a long ways from writing an autobiography. I'm not sure if anyone wants to hear my story.
Oh, we can tie into the last question, the fat guy who runs.
Yeah, no.
There we go. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We have to come back to that one.
That's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I thought I wouldn't have an answer for that. Okay.
You should have prepped me on that one.
Well, it's all right. Sometimes it's fun just to watch you sputter.
Yeah, true.
In 1 minute, tell us what your ministry does.
Okay. Got the timer?
And I'll let you, after that point, I'll let you give the reasoning.
Okay. So I don't need to give any reason.
Just the name, what it does, and then you can give it the reasoning.
Think Like Christ Ministries. We do conferences, youth conferences, Bible conferences, men's conferences, and any other conference that a church would like to host, we will help you do them. For a variety of reasons and different ways, and we will provide speakers. You can provide your own speakers. We help us host the conference, whatever. Then part of Think Like Christ Ministries is Solid Rock Christian Camp, where we do 2 weeks of camp every June, and we provide camp free of charge for anybody who would like to come to camp for free. Obviously, if you would like to pay, that's always an option. You check that option when you sign up, but for everybody who doesn't or can't afford to pay, it is 100% free. And that's what we do.
That's awesome.
So, and we have this podcast.
Yeah.
That's also a part of our ministry.
Brains, Bibles,
that's
and Beyond.
That's us together, though. So. Yes.
That's right. It's kind of the middle child.
Yeah.
So then why do you do it all?
Because someone needs to.
It's true.
I said yes. No. So it started probably around the age of 20 years old. So that would have been, I don't know what year it is.
This is now 24.
Say 22 years ago.
Yep.
God basically put this, I don't want to say vision, because it's not like I had this trance where God put this vision on, gave me a vision, but it was more like this recurring daydream I would have all the time where I had this desire to do this thing, which is basically a youth conference. And so in 2005, we did our first one. And basically how this came about was I called a bunch of different youth pastors And I said, hey, think about doing a youth conference. And pretty much all of them said the same thing. Sounds like a great idea. Let us know when you want to do it. There was a couple of individuals I talked to who said, that sounds like a great idea. Let's do it. So me and those two individuals, we planned a youth conference. And it's basically the youth groups from our three churches got together. We had a first youth conference. And we were the speakers, you know, the whole thing. That's where it started.
Okay.
From there, the idea went from just like, hey, it's your youth conference to let's create a ministry. And we started seeing a certain need. And, you know, it's been refined over the years and things. But basically, this need is this. And this is why we do what we do today. It's no secret, 66% of our kids leave the church between the ages of 18 and 22 years old. Hmm. And for a variety of reasons. And that's a huge problem, right? But what I started to look at was, why do kids stay in church? The 34% of kids who stay, what do they have in common?
Hmm.
And, you know, there's all kinds of surveys on these, and I've done some research, and there's surveys from three or four different places, and they, you know, they all have different questions, and there's about 12 or 15 categories, but I kind of broke it down in like three categories that's to simplify it. Three major ones. Number one, and I shouldn't even say number one, this is a caveat, this is the most important thing. The one thing all these kids have in common, basically, as a generalized rule, is they made the faith their own faith. At some point, they decided, this is not the faith of my parents, I'm going to choose to follow Jesus. That's the number one thing. Without that, kids are leaving in droves, because, you know, that's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. Now, besides that, there are three categories. Number one is they received good biblical, solid biblical teaching, but not just good, solid biblical teaching. It's specifically applied to the life. Here's God's word. This is what it means, and this is how it applies to your life. So it's not just teaching knowledge, but teaching application.
Right.
Teaching how to think, not just what to think. You know, all these phrases that we use so often now in youth ministry. God's word had to be relevant. It has to be relevant, and we need to be taught that it's relevant. It's not just something to know. It's something to do as well. They are involved in ministry. Kids who are involved in ministry overwhelmingly stay in church. But not just ministry, specifically a ministry where they can use their gifts and talents that God gave them. You know, not everybody's a cookie cutter, right? Like, we all have different gifts. And we sometimes try to force people into what we need instead of encouraging them to do what God has made them to do.
Right.
And that's a huge problem. If serving is always a burden because it's not what we're passionate about or what God's made us to do, it can kind of a drag sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people just need to step up and fill the void because it's needed. But it's so much more fun when it's what God has created you to do. And you kind of get that, right? Like, when you're doing that, you get it. Like, it's fun.
Mm.
And you're living with a purpose. And the last thing is somebody besides their parents have invested into their life as a mentor or a second voice of some kind to say, you know what, these things your parents are teaching about God, they're true, and encourage them. Not that it's not to replace parents, because that's still the number one thing in discipleship of kids. You know, obviously some kids come from broken homes and things, and so there's some voids that need to be filled. But just in general, just a third voice, either besides the pastor or the parents, that comes in alongside and says, hey, you know what? These things you're being taught, they're true and real, and let's live that out together.
Yep.
So those three things being true, we've tried to gear our ministries for those. So we do youth conferences. That's part of the reason we do our youth conferences, and part of the reason why we do that youth conference. We don't just want to teach God's word and have good, solid theological teaching and good apologetics teachings, but then we break down into workshops and we get the nuts and bolts and the applications. So we allow kids to ask questions and come away with action steps and how I can now take this information I've learned and put it into practice.
Okay.
You know, and we do workshops on different topics that the kids pick. When we do youth conferences, we always end with an evaluation where kids can put down what they want to hear workshops on. What are areas in your life where you could use some help? And that's how we choose the topics that we cover. Camp comes along. So the reason we started Solid Rock Christian Camp was to train Christian workers. So we came to this idea that basically asked this question, what's the best way to train Christian workers? And the best way that I know how from my personal experience is through Christian camp ministry. Because it doesn't matter what your gift or talent or ability is, there's something for you to do at camp.
Yeah.
And that's where the whole idea came. And there's a whole story to how the camp started. Awesome story, how everything came together. It was clear and obvious that God has opened this door. And so then we pursued it. You know, it's most likely never going to be a full-time thing because it's only a part of Think Like Christ. But it is a part that's been very important. Gives kids an opportunity to come and to serve under direct supervision, but allows them to use their gifts and abilities with people, adults who care and mentor them. And give them the opportunity to serve, to fail, to be corrected, to succeed, and to use their gifts that God's given them. And then also the podcast is kind of then fits in with all of that, the lending the second voice, the mentoring, the giving proper application, all that stuff. So that's why we do it.
All right. So that's awesome. Super needy, or needed, I should say. Super needed.
I can be needy too. Yeah.
It is a needy ministry, right? That's why we have donations and things like that. Speaking of which, what are some of the top ministry needs that you'd have?
Okay, so if we were to come to your church and give a ministry presentation, which if you'd like us to come, ask. We would love to come.
Yep.
I love talking about what God's doing. And most people like to hear what God's doing. So, yeah, ask away. We'll come. When we end our presentation, there's always that last slide. And everybody who's ever had a missionary or anybody present a ministry, it's pretty much the same for everybody, right? And a lot of people will just put prayer first, pray for us because they want to look spiritual, right? And that's a lot of times why they say it.
Or it could be the
reality. Or it could be because it's true. For us, it really is true because we have seen God work miraculously every step of the way in so many areas. And in so many areas, we fell because of our insufficiencies, and God is then more glorified because things work out for his glory even when we're failures.
Yeah.
Not that we're going around failing on purpose, but we fall short. And we do have to rely on God. Especially with this being a ministry where I'm not a full-time paid minister. I have a full-time job besides this. This is something we do on our nights and weekends. And me and my wife and my family, we have a team of people around us, all who have jobs. No one's paid, all volunteers. That may someday change where it grows to this point where, we have paid people. But right now, that's not what it is. It's truly just a passion that we see a need and we want to fill. And so when we say, hey, please pray for us, it's 100%. That is the number one thing people can do. Shoot us an email, say, hey, we're praying for you. That's encouraging, right? It really is. The second thing is to volunteer. Whether that volunteering is, inviting us to come to your church and to do a conference or to host something, or helping with a conference or event, or possibly coming and working at camp. Our camp staff fills up pretty quickly, but there's certain areas of need, especially when it comes to counselors and things. And volunteer. Don't just sit on the sideline and watch. Be a Christian. That's what we want to encourage a lot. And then, of course, lastly, there is a financial need. We do conferences for free. Well, they're not free, right? It costs money. We provide camp free of charge, but it's not free. It costs money. Somebody has to donate that money. And to this date, it's been donated, right? Like
right.
God uses people to give and to pay for these events. And it's a huge blessing. And we can do what we love and what God's called us to do because of donations. But we could do more, you know. If more is donated, we can do more events. And that's basically what it comes down to. And so, you know, that is definitely a need. If God lays that on your heart, you'll be obedient. But I would say, number one, please pray for us. You know, pray for direction, guidance, all those things that we should be praying for any ministry that we feel passionate about supporting. So.
Right. Awesome. So then what would you do? Because right now you have a normal secular full-time job, which you are happy with.
Mm-hmm.
And but what would you do if suddenly you were full-time with these ministries? How would your job change?
How my job with the ministry change, or my full-time job?
Yeah, no. Because that's gone. So now
that's
it's
gone.
Just,
oh, boy.
Think like Christ, solid rock. This is you all the time. How does that change for you?
I would do the same things, only more of it.
Just more of it. More. So like, it means more camps, more conferences? What you're saying, or
certainly more conferences and probably more speaking engagements and more content creation.
Okay.
So we work on some content, one of which is our podcast.
Yeah.
You know, I'm working on a couple projects right now that we can't really talk about because they're in the very infancies.
Okay.
But we would have more content creation because we would have more time.
You just speed up the processes for what you're already doing.
Yeah. Basically. It would. But I feel like we're doing what God has called us to do.
So no additional...
I don't think we would add ministries. Okay, okay. We would do more of what we're doing.
Right. Okay. That's good to know.
I mean, other ministries may add as God opens doors or whatever. I'm never opposed to God saying, hey, you know what? I want you to do this. And I've always kind of been sounds good type of guy. But yeah.
So do you have a desire to ever be full-time with the ministries?
From time to time, especially the days where I'm extremely tired, you know.
Well, that'll happen no matter what job you got there.
But I haven't necessarily felt that God has called me to quit my full-time job and be full-time in this.
That's totally fair. Yeah.
Quite honestly, some weeks the hours we put in is full-time, especially if you count my wife and I both.
Right.
But we like doing it though.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, you know, you're going to do something with your spare time. And it's not like we never do anything else, you know. We do, you know. But we enjoy this. We enjoy the ministry that God's given us.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously having a full-time job, you're limited in how much you can do. But we also have some great people around us who are every year we get more and more people stepping up and being part of this ministry and taking up different roles and doing different things. You know, we've had, you know, even there's just this year, more people step into more leadership roles in this ministry and taking over parts of it that I've been doing exclusively myself. And now they're helping with that. So even now it's like I'm getting more opportunities to do more content creation, which is what I would do if I had more time. And so, you know, so God does see those needs and, you know, I'm certainly open to the idea if God says, hey, you need to go full time in this. Certainly that would be a step of faith like it is for anybody who quits a job and goes into a full time paid ministry position or sometimes unpaid.
Yeah.
You know, and that obviously would be a step of faith. You know, and if God leads that way, I would do it. I would love it, I'm sure.
And I just make a quick note to kind of add to it that, you know, just because you're doing some ministry doesn't mean you're supposed to be full-time ministry kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, everybody's supposed to do ministry, right?
Right.
But everybody should do ministry of some kind.
But as far as, like, getting rid of a secular-type job,
a secular job.
I want to encourage those out there that just because you have a job and even working some overtime, you know, that does not exclude you from doing ministry, you know?
Yeah.
We need to make sure we're on it. I also throw a challenge out there, just, you know, having listened to this, for those that are in full-time ministry, pastors, whoever, you know, consider the hours you put in. So like a normal person might put in like 50 hours of their job, let's just say,
Sure.
and then they might throw in, 10, 15 for ministry in a week. So like, that's 75, whatever, depends on what they've got going on for work and ministry. So then what, what would that be for you? I think sometimes when you're in full-time ministry, it's like all I do is ministry, so you end up only working the normal hours a person would normally work. And I think it should be more. I think it should be more. But
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
you have thoughts on that?
Many ministry should not become your job. If you're doing it for a paycheck and you're punching in and out like a 40-hour
So
week,
you're talking about motivation.
yeah, and it shouldn't be treated that way either. It shouldn't be treated like a 40-hour week job.
Oh, like a,
Because
oh, I gotta clock
being
in.
a Christian
Okay.
should be
Right,
24/7,
okay.
and you should do what God's
Yeah.
called you to do. Now, I realize that we have families. And they require time as well.
Yeah, that's
Like,
ministry.
and
That's,
I'm not gonna begrudge any pastor because he wants to go home and spend time with his wife and
of
kids, right?
course,
Like,
yeah. That has to happen to some
but
level, yeah.
if you're doing it as a job and you're just a hireling, you just need to check your heart.
Yeah, there can be a problem there.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and that's obviously the wrong thing. But I just want everybody just serving God.
Right.
And some people are full time and they're getting paid for it, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they are, because it's the right.
Right.
They should.
And even at a secular job, you can represent Christ, talk
Oh
about
yeah.
Christ.
Yep.
It doesn't have to be, we don't ever want to compartmentalize. That's what you were
No,
saying
you should be a
earlier.
Christian
So,
all the time, regardless of where your
right.
paycheck comes from.
Absolutely.
So
It's good to hear you say that. It's good because I like that you we are different in that sense, and so I like it to come from you that someone that's actually doing that, I can say it and they go, you don't know what it's like. I can say, oh yeah, I used to, but you're doing it,
Yeah, well, you know
so it
what it's
helps.
like to work a job and have a
Yeah.
and have a ministry,
Most of
because you did that,
my
right?
life.
And
Yeah.
when you started Brains of Bibles, you were still teaching, and
Sure.
teaching requires time. Certainly
Yes.
your summers were more free than
Yeah.
some,
Right.
but yeah,
I
so
fill them up. Yeah.
yeah, right.
So, what's the best scripture passage that totally encapsulates your ministry?
All right, well, it's our theme verse, Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And it has multiple meanings, but the main meaning, it was the theme of our very first youth conference. Basically being giving yourself up for others like Christ did, right?
Yeah.
That's what the verse is about. Since then, we've also got a lot into apologetics and doing apologetic stuff and the events being apologetic based things and having those types of speakers come in. And so then it also kind of has this other meaning when we say think like Christ. It kind of gets into like the thinking part of it, which is not really what the verse means, but the name of our ministry has all then also kind of goes along with
Yeah.
that. But the name of our ministry, think that Christ, is really based on that verse. Have the mindset of Christ and treat others how he
Right.
treated them. And that means, sometimes you got to give up your rights and your things that are rightfully yours in order so that others can benefit,
Absolutely.
which is
Yeah.
what Christ did for us. So,
I got one last question here,
all right.
and you can I'm saying for like one thing, but if there's more than one thing, go ahead. This will be the last thing, so you can just share what you want here. But what is some of the best advice to live for Christ you've ever received?
Oh, okay. So, there's lots of things, right? And I've shared this with you before, but I had a professor when I was in Bible college who told me, never turn down an opportunity to minister. And, some may say, oh, no, never, that's not good advice because, you got to say no sometimes, right? And yeah, that may be true. But it's a general rule.
A general
Like,
rule, yeah.
if you have the opportunity to minister to somebody, or if someone has asked you, hey, can you come do this? Yes. Like, the answer should be
Yeah.
yes, right? And that fits my personality well, because I've always, I've said this to you, I don't know how many times, like, I'm not particularly gifted in very many ways. Like, as far as like what ministry goes, like, I'm not the most eloquent speaker. I say way too often. I'm not particularly good looking, although some may differ on that. My modeling career did not take off well. So I can't sing and dance, you know. But
at the same time.
But the one thing I am able to do is say yes.
Yeah.
You know, when God presents an opportunity, I can say yes. And so often, I mean, that's the most important spiritual gift, because if you don't say yes, you just do nothing. So my goal is always to like find someone who's better at what I'm doing and teach them to do what I'm doing, so somebody qualified can actually be doing it. But you know, you gotta start with somewhere.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, never turn an opportunity to minister. I think that's rung true. That has helped me make decisions so many times, and I'll probably always keep doing that. Sure. And there's been a lot of other advice, you know, you receive over the years from different men of God and mentors and things, but that one definitely sticks out a lot. Some things are probably more private that you can't really share because, you know, just for whatever reason, but.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, well, I really appreciate that. I think the audience has gotten a better chance to get to know you, and just make sure you're praying for Nate. His ministry's there, Think Like Christ Ministry, Solid Rock Christian Camp. And you can go visit the website, thinklikechrist.org, and learn a bit more there. You can even donate to the ministries to help fund it. As you said, things are freely given, but not free. So yeah. They do need funding just as much as my ministry and lots of others. But you heard about his, and if that, you know, kind of pulled the heartstrings a little bit, you want to get involved in that, there are ways to do that. And not just financially, but actually working. And like you said, prayer above all. But to put some action to your prayer, you know, maybe with some dollars, maybe with some work. If you think you can't do anything, just ask first. You might be surprised that there could be a fit for you. As you said, camp offers lots of situations where anybody can help.
Yeah, so. For sure. So, and if you don't want to help at camp, you know, there's work days, you know, there's projects that can be done.
Pretty much always something.
Yeah. So maybe a little rough on the edges. Yeah. Can you use a mower? Right. Like, you know, like there's something you can do, right?
There's always something.
You know, with the trash, all these things taken out.
All right, well, thanks, Nate. Appreciate your time.
All right. Hey, no problem. Glad to be here.
See ya.
Thanks for the invite.